The sermon title, as you have probably read in your bulletin, is on, getting out of tight spots. And we have a character in the Bible, well-known character, one of my favorites, and that is Daniel. Daniel got out of a lot of tight spots. And as we know, we're going to have some tight, we have tight spots, and we have situations in our life when we find ourselves, sometimes in dead-end streets. So I want to look at Daniel's life this morning, a prophet. He had so many gifts. Daniel had a remarkable life. And before I go any further, I want to thank my wife for helping me with the PowerPoint. He had a remarkable life. He went from being a captive in a foreign land, in Babylon, to being what we would call a prime minister of two world empires, Babylon and Medo-Persia, for a short time. His entire life, we're talking about tight spots, his entire life was spent not in a Christian, what we would call today a Christian country. It was in a pagan. And so that's where he spent his life. There's been some excavations done in that part of the world, close to what today is Baghdad. And they have found in those excavations that they've done in that area of Babylon, 53 temples have been discovered, 384 altars. Well, you would think, that's a godly country, but those were to pagan gods. So he lived in that kind of an environment. I had the privilege to visit an Egyptian museum, and it was very interesting to see a replica of Babylon, the city, with its hanging gardens. It was just it was one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was just a magnificent place. And so in these excavations, they have not been able to go further in history because of the high water tables. So, but they continue where they can to excavate, find new things. Now, it wasn't a safe place. If those of you who have read the book of Daniel, it wasn't a safe place to be in Babylon during that time. The kings were authoritarian and cruel. And we find Daniel in Daniel 2. That's a chapter we're going to study this morning. Daniel 2, we find Daniel and his companions, along with the wise men of Babylon, in a life and death situation. And here's where the tight spots began, or the unexpected. And from Daniel's experience, in Babylon, there's a lot of things we can learn from crisis, from unexpected. And we know that some of these stories will be repeated. And so it's important to know a little bit about, what to do in a crisis, what to do in a situation that doesn't have an easy solution like his didn't. So it's important for us to know. And our story begins with a very well-known dream. And I just want to review a little bit in Daniel 2. If we go to Daniel 2, and we're starting in verse 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut to pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They went back and forth. wanting the king to give them some clues, help them out a little bit. You know, these were humans. They had the Chaldeans, as we know, they were wise. They had wisdom. But like they say in verse 10, and they're kind of right. In verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods who do not dwell with flesh." So, according to them, he was asking the impossible. And so, what happens in verse 12, and once again we see how authoritarian this man was. "For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them." Now, what can we learn from Daniel when we find ourselves in a difficult situation, when we find ourselves facing the unexpected, an unforeseen crisis? And Daniel didn't know this was coming. He had no idea. Death by execution. What was his response to the king? Now, I think we have some valuable lessons for us to learn here. When we're facing the unexpected, we're facing a situation that does not have an easy solution, we find ourselves in a tight spot. In verse 14, we have Daniel's response. Verse 14, "Then with tact and wisdom," some say counsel, there's different synonyms for that one, tact and counsel and wisdom, "Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon." Now, there's a number of things we can learn from Daniel, his character. First of all, how does he approach this dangerous situation? With tact and wisdom. We hear people today, you got to get in there, we're coming towards the end, you're going to... Tact and wisdom when the crisis comes. Any crisis. Tact and wisdom. We're told that, he possessed wisdom, but it was a heavenly wisdom. The heavenly wisdom that we find in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says there, "For the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive." In other words, it's humble and teachable. "It's full of mercy and good fruit." Daniel possessed that kind of wisdom. Good fruit, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That kind of wisdom. He responded to this dangerous situation, to this death decree, with tact. I hope I'm you're following me here. Anyway, this is the kind of way we need to respond, when we find ourselves in such a situation. I read a book, it's kind of 10 years back. It's the title of that book, it was a New York bestseller entitled "Emotional Intelligence, More Important Than IQ." Have you read that book? Emotional Intelligence, do you have it there? More Important Than IQ. And they call that emotional wisdom, relational wisdom. There are people who are very intelligent, but cannot control their tempers, they cannot control their emotions. And that's what this book is talking about. You'll find executives in that find people that cannot control their anger, their emotions. And there are some homes that are battlegrounds because people cannot control their emotions. We need this kind of emotional intelligence, this relational intelligence in our church, in our home, and in our workplace. Now, that's the kind of wisdom that he had when he approached Arioch. Now, it says with tact. See, Daniel used tact in his encounter with Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, the executioner. What is tact? The Webster Dictionary has the following definition of what tact is. An understanding of how to avoid giving offense, and how to keep or win goodwill. That is how Daniel approached Arioch. He approached him with tact. He was a statesman. We're told that he had the art of diplomacy. He knew, that's why he ended up in that court with Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. Now, so Daniel possessed his true diplomacy. Through these traits of character, Daniel was able to persuade Arioch to tell him why this death decree. Daniel didn't know. He was blindsided. You know, he didn't know why this death decree. Why are we going to be executed? He didn't want to die. He says, what happened? And through tact, through wisdom, through statesmanship, he was able to get Arioch to explain the matter to him. He says, you know, a king has had a dream, and he's been anxious. I mean, this is really bothering him. And he went to the Chaldeans, he went to the sorcerers, he went to all these men. They couldn't give him an answer. In fact, they said that there was nobody on earth that could do it. So that's why you're all going to be killed. And so once Daniel has this kind of information, what's the next step that he takes? Daniel gets an audience with the king. You find that in verse 16. He goes to the king. And here is where Daniel steps out in faith. He goes to the king and he says to the king, he says, give me time. I'm going to be back with the interpretation. That's faith. Before he has an answer, before the mystery is revealed to him, he says, give me time. I'll be back, but I'm going to be back with the interpretation. You'll know what your dream was about. Now, that faith is what we also need. We need to step out in faith. Now, what is faith? Let me read verse 16 where it says, so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. He says, I'll be back. Now, what is faith? Hebrews 1:11. We have the same one here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we're told in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those who seek Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we see that in Daniel's life. He was such a man of faith. We have in Hebrews 11 all the heroes of faith. And in verse 33, we're told that, Daniel makes it into that hall of fame, heroes of faith. He says, verse 33, to faith, some have shut the mouths of lions. Now, this is another tight spot that he was in, another difficult situation. Even after the king, and that was King Darius further down, the decree had been signed that no one could pray to any other but to the king. And you know, they tricked the king to sign that decree. And Daniel continued his practice in faith. In other words, he continued praying three times a day. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem, didn't change his lifestyle. And they reported it to the king. King felt bad about it because Daniel was very loyal, very faithful. He protected the king, gave wise counsel. But the decree had been signed, so he was thrown into the lion's den. And you know, I believe, and God delivered him, as we know. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But I believe that Daniel would have stepped out in faith even if God wouldn't have delivered him. That's true faith. God will always do what is right. He sees a big picture. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we would like, but you know, God always does what is right. So we too must step out in faith. When we find ourselves in a crisis, when things look bleak, like in the case of Daniel, we must step out. God will be there also, like he was for Daniel. He'll be there for each one of us, and he'll reward our faith if we step out. Now, Daniel goes into the king, to his palace. He asks for time. Why did Daniel ask for time? He asked for time to take the matter to God in prayer. He went back and met with his companions, the Bible says. And this was a very serious matter. I mean, he didn't want to die. So he goes to his companions. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2, verses 17. And it says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." It says that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So they went out. What did they do when they found themselves in a crisis? First, they stepped out in faith. Then they prayed. This was earnest prayer, it tells us here. I mean, their lives were in danger. They were really praying and trusting in God. You know, we live in a real fast-paced time, society. And as a pastor, I hear a lot of people say they don't have that much time to pray. Everything gets squeezed out, the spiritual. But if we take note of Daniel, Daniel had 120 governors reporting to him. And he was busy protecting the interest of the king from fraud, from so many other things, as we find as we read the book of Daniel. Yet he saw prayer as a priority. When we find ourselves in a crisis, when we find ourselves with the unexpected, whatever situation, we need to find time for prayer. It is that important. Now, we can pray to God from any place, anywhere, anytime, from home, from the workplace, from you name it. You know, Daniel not only prayed in his home, we hear him praying by a river, he prayed in his work. Wherever you find yourself in a situation where you need prayer, you can pray silently, an SOS prayer. What's important it is to pray. And in verse 19, God reveals the mystery to Daniel. Verse 19, it says, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven." God revealed it to Daniel. You know what I really like about this? You know, a lot of times God answers our prayers. I know in my situation, I've had answered prayers in many tight, difficult situations I've been in. I remember when I was a serviceman. Oh, this goes way back, time of Vietnam. But, you know, when I turned to the Lord in times of crisis. But one of the things we forget many times is to thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Like we are doing here this morning. It's wonderful to see young people, you know, praising God. And in the following verses here, verses 20 and onward, Daniel breaks out into praise. He says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness. He knows in the darkness, and the light dwells what? With him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Let's not ever forget to praise God for answered prayers. God answers so many of our prayers, and a lot of times they go unnoticed. We don't really recognize them, because you know why? Sometimes they aren't answered right away. Sometimes I've had prayers. You know, I've put some of my requests in writing, and I've put a little check, you know. But I always put answer requests, because they're all answered. It might be with a yes or a no, but he knows what is best. I find that a lot of times he says, wait. Maybe there's some things in my life, there's just not the right timing. I could give examples of that. But remember to praise God, to thank God. I'd like the next part. You know, once Daniel had the interpretation of the dream, what was the first thing he does? This is so important. He thought of others. He thought of others whose lives were in danger. In verse 24, he thinks of the wise men, the Chaldeans, his companions. Verse 24, therefore Daniel went to Arioch, this is once he had the interpretation, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Once he had the interpretation, he stopped the roundup. Stop killing. Don't kill no one. Take me to the king. I have the interpretation. Daniel intercedes for their safety. You know, the king was so mad with those that group of men that he not only wanted to destroy them, he wanted to destroy their families, their children. I mean, really an authoritarian king. He wanted to destroy everything they had. And Daniel intercedes for them. He says, hey, stop. Don't kill anyone. Take me to the king. I have the interpretation. You know, don't do much. You know, we need to help others when we come out of a crisis, out of a situation, out of a difficulty. There's people that we can help. Because if we've experienced some kind of failure in our life, some kind of situation in our life that has really shook us, and really done something to us, and God brings us out of that, we should be able to help people. And you know what? They're all around. I find them all the time. They might look like, you know, that everything is going just great, rosy. No. We need to be able to help others, counsel others. And think of others, not only ourselves, when God answers our prayers and God is so good to us and blesses us. We need to do that. Now, Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, he had a very different attitude, I would guess, a different spirit than Daniel. You know, this man, Arioch, he was thinking of himself. He says, I have found a man. Maybe he wanted a promotion, I don't know. But he tries to take credit for this situation here. He says, I have found a man. That's in verse 24. He says, therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the interpretation. And then when they go before the king, which is in verse 25, then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. That's not true. We read in verse 24 that it was Daniel that went to Arioch. Take me to the king. I have the interpretation. I think a lot of times there's a little Arioch in all of us. We want to take credit where, you know. Self is hard to die. And it'll come up in situations. We need to give credit where credit is due. And so you know, I really like the spirit of Daniel here. Ariel wanted to kind of promote himself. Daniel does not want to take credit for the interpretation. Daniel says to the king, when the king says, ask him if he could give him the interpretation. And Daniel in verse 27 tells him no wise man can do that. He says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. And here is where he gives all the glory to God. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed were these. In other words, he gives God all the glory. And we must remember to give God all the glory, all the honor for whatever, and praise for whatever gift he's given us. You know, Daniel recognized that his wisdom, his knowledge, he realized that all the things that he had, God had given to him. And he gave God all the credit. And it's the same with us. And we find that in verse 30. Verse 30, we know he was a very gifted man. Verse 30. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You know, we know Daniel has some magnificent gifts. We know he had the gift of prophecy. We know he had the gift of wisdom, administration, leadership. He had the gift of counseling, advice, many gifts. Yet what was beautiful about Daniel, he recognized the giver. If you have an ability, a gift, a talent that God has given you, always recognize the giver. And you know, God gives gifts to the church. And it's beautiful to see the gifts, the talents, you know, that we see here in this church. And they come from him, though. They all come from God. Now, so we must remember that our abilities, anything we have, our attributes, all belong, God has given. Because he's that kind of God. He's a good God. And he wants to bless his church. You know, spiritual gifts are for the common good of the church, not for some kind of private enjoyment, some elitism, you know, I'm better than anybody else. No. There are some churches that feel if you don't have the gift of tongues, you're out. Two, gifts are for edifying, building up the body of Christ. In all three passages where you find the spiritual gifts, they're for the common good of the church, they're for building up the body of Christ to its peak, and thirdly, for service. You have to do something with the gift. Okay, so after giving God the credit and the honor and glory that he alone deserves, Daniel went on to interpret the dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. And we find that in verses 31 to 35. 31, he says, you, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. The great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image, his head was of fine gold, his chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, his legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like the shaft from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Here we have the dream and its interpretation. We know the head of gold represented Babylon, and that's where Daniel was at the time. Now, it was in the days of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, that Babylon was defeated by the Medes and Persians. It was in the night. You remember that night when Belshazzar brought out the sacred vessels from the temple, the ones that had been taken to Babylon? They were having a drunken feast. All of a sudden, the end came. Daniel played a role in there again, letting them know that, you know, that He'd been weighing the balance and found wanting. Suddenly destruction came to Babylon. Babylon was defeated. Next, the chest and arms of silver represented what? Medo-Persia. Now, they ruled for a while, but it was during the days of, it was in the Battle of Arbela in 331 before Christ that Alexander the Great defeated the Medes and the Persians. Then he ruled. He was a young ruler, 32 years old. And he's represented, Greece is represented by the belly and the thighs of bronze. Do you have them here? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Greece, after the death of Alexander, his kingdom was divided between his four generals and eventually giving way to the Roman Empire. Now, the legs of iron and represent Rome. The Roman kingdom was a very strong and cruel kingdom, as we know. And it was during the time of the Roman kingdom that our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. Came to earth to pay the price for your sins and my sins. He came during one of the hardest times, harshest governments. And we know they used the cross. And he was crucified. But not for himself. He died vicariously. That means not for his sins, but our sins. He paid the price, the full price for our sins. We cannot add to what Jesus has done. Unless, you know, he paid the complete price for our sins during that time. And not only that, after he resurrected, we know he's in the heavenly sanctuary interceding for us. Now the feet, partly of clay, the kingdom was divided. Partly of clay, feet partly of clay and of iron, the divided kingdoms of Europe that extend to our time. We are not living in the time of the divided kingdoms. We're at the foot of the image. Right at the toes there. There would no longer be a world empire like we had in the past. And these other kingdoms prior to the dividing of the kingdoms. And then many have tried. And there might be still some that will try. But they will fail, according to the Bible. Now, all of a sudden, a stone cut without hand. I'm just going to make it just a for those of you who are interested in prophecy, it's really important to know the chronology. Really important to know the chronology. You know, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Because the little horn is not Titus Epiphanes. Because he doesn't fit the chronology. He's during the time of the Maccabees, and the little horn does problems right out to the end. In fact, he gets stronger at the end. So right now we have people saying that. It's in Titus Epiphanes. But it does not fit the chronology. So you need to know that chronology. Because the little horn makes war with the saints right to the end. Of course, there's other characteristics. But that's not my point right now. So here we find the reason for the dream. Okay? The reason for the dream. God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know that it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that would last forever, but the kingdom that God was going to establish was going to be eternal. You see, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know what was going to happen. What was going to become of ancient Babylon? You know, one of the wonders of the world, the gold head. You know, what was going to happen? And when Daniel explained the dream to him, the head of gold, he was excited. But he didn't like the rest of the dream, that his kingdom was not going to last forever. And so what he did in chapter 3, he makes an image all of gold representing what? That his kingdom was going to last forever. His kingdom was going to last forever, but it wasn't so. Now, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a view of the coming kingdoms, what was going to happen. We are living in the end time. Soon the Lord will come. The second coming to redeem us and take us to heaven to be here there with him. Now, that stone represents the second coming of Christ. We have it there. The stone, we go back. Stone represents the second coming of Jesus of Christ, but it also represents Jesus. Because the stone also represents Christ, verse 10. Whoever says, and all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And who was that rock? Christ. Through Scripture, the rock represents Jesus, our Savior. That's who the rock represents. Now, in Luke 20, verse 18, we have a warning in this verse. It reads like this. Everyone who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. In other words, now's the time to fall upon the stone. Now, my question is, what does falling on the stone break us from? Why are we to fall upon the stone, Jesus Christ, and be broken? What does he want to break us of? He wants to break us of pride and arrogance. A spirit of, you know, a sinful spirit. He wants to break us of what? He wants to break us from sinful habits. Now's the time to fall on the stone and be broken. Falling upon the stone. You know, we fall on the stone, so he wants to break us from anything that separates us from him. Because anything that separates us from Jesus will hurt us. So he wants us to fall upon the stone. Give him his, you know, our will. And he will always will and do according to his good pleasure, according to Ephesians. He will do what's best for us. So now is the time to fall upon the stone, Jesus Christ, and be broken. Humility. You know, having a teachable spirit to learn more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time. Because, I don't know about you, I want to be a citizen of that new kingdom that's coming, that's going to last forever. And he's got to break us from things that are not good for us. And he wants to do that. He wants to help us. So Daniel has a lot to teach us when we find ourselves in a crisis, when we find ourselves in a situation that's not an easy situation, we get blindsided, things are going to come upon us. We're going to have some times that are not going to be so good, but we're not alone. Jesus is with us all through the trials, the difficulties. The same God that delivered Daniel when he was in the midst of trouble is the same God that will deliver us today. Do you believe that? He's the same God. If someone this morning here is facing a crisis, if you're facing some difficult times, it could be a relationship, whatever it may be. If you're facing a difficult time in your life, Daniel's example is for us. God will come through for us. But Daniel felt his need for God's guidance. He kept, you know, prayer, faith. And God will come through for us. He'll guide us. He'll protect us. He will make the difference in our life. He will make the difference. And we can come out victorious. Yes, God will get us out of tight spots. I enjoy the life of Daniel because, you know, I've seen what it did for him. And I know we're living towards the end at the tip are the divided kingdoms. But we don't need to fear, because Jesus will be with us right to the end. That's what the Bible says. I will be with you always to the end. So let's keep that in mind. And once again, it's been great being here. I enjoy coming to your church, this area of San Diego. Beautiful and a lovely day. So God bless you. And when your pastor invites me again, we'll be back.